Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And we are pleased to be joined during the course of this next half an hour by Ralph Nader once again, author, activist, ran for president of the United States, but more important than all of that is what he brings to the discussion about the future of our country. He's coming to Baltimore. Let's see here. He'll be at the Q Building Theater at Community College of Baltimore County in Catonsville, 800 South Rolling Road. This doesn't say when here, does it?
Speaking this Wednesday.
This Wednesday night. And we'll get more information. That'll be up on our web. So you can join us here right now also at 410-319-8888 here on the Mark Steiner Show. We're broadcasting live from WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, here at Morgan State University in Baltimore, Maryland. And, of course, broadcasting around the country on Free Speech TV and streaming live at steinershow.org. And Ralph Nader, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Good to have you, Mark. I appreciate it. It's 11:15 a.m.
I just saw that.
Yeah.
11:15 a.m.
The community college, they do things in the day.
So, Ralph, I'm glad you're here with us. There's so much going on and that we're facing right now, and we're seeing the Deficit Commission coming back with all the recommendations. And I'm curious what you've been thinking and writing about. I've been reading some of the stuff you've read recently on your website that kind of was on November 13th, but what are you thinking about in terms of what the Deficit Commission has proposed, what we're facing in America, and what response you would give to them?
Well, it's only the two chairs of the Deficit Commission. The 18 members haven't voted on it yet, and whatever the two chairs recommend has to receive the votes of 14 out of 18, and it doesn't look like they're going to get it. So what they did is they preempted the deadline, which is supposed to be December 1st, with this what they called a tentative list of suggestions. This is by Erskine Bowles, the so-called Democrat, and the Alan Simpson, the so-called Republican. Both of them really quite conservative, and both of them true to form. They issued recommendations which, on the whole, shifted more of the burden to working people than to the super rich or the corporations. It's quite clear, for example, that they ignored the possibility of a huge revenue base by taxing Wall Street derivatives and stock transactions. There's no sales tax on trillions of dollars of these transactions, yet people in Baltimore and everywhere around the country, for the most part, go into stores and have to pay 5, 6, 7% sales tax on the necessities of life. This speculation tax would raise at least $400 billion on these transactions, which are a very high velocity every minute of the day that the stock exchanges are in business. The second thing they left out is collecting $300 billion of uncollected taxes. And the Internal Revenue Service has pointed out that every dollar they get to enforce the revenue laws will bring back $20. So they just forgot about that. Instead, they talk about Social Security, and they talk about Medicare. They talk about the mortgage home deduction. Well, that's a good thing to talk about, but again, it was not class-based because 70% of the billions and billions and billions of dollars that come from the mortgage home mortgage deduction is by the top 20% of the richest homeowners. So if you're going to do something about that, you start at the top. The super rich in our country have gotten so many privileges, so many immunities over the years, so many subsidies, direct and indirect, so many services by the government that ordinary people don't get, so many tax havens, that if we ever collected what was back due, it would be trillions of dollars.
Let me stop you there. The last part of what you said, I think it's worth exploring. I mean, I think that when we see Americans, I think, are generally concerned about the deficit we are being told it's in Social Security, generally concerned about what America faces. We're being told that we have to collectively learn how to bite the bullet or our country's going to go down in flames. And what you just said about the amount of money that could be collected that is actually out there. I'm curious, if you were at this moment running for president of the United States, as you've done many times before, what would you be saying to the American people about what the alternative is to what the Deficit Commission is proposing? What instead could be done to get the economy moving and to shore up the deficits that we have?
So it's the easiest answer of all. It's rebuilding our public works. I mean, you want to create jobs. Do you want to create them that they can't be exported to China? You want them that they go into every community. You want them that they make life better for the community. You improve and modernize our public works, from schools to clinics to libraries to bridges to highways to public transit to all kinds of things that we see that are breaking down and are in disrepair, not just the ones that blow out our tires with potholes or break our axles. So that's the oldest answer, and the great thing about it is it's supported in every town and city by the labor unions, the chamber, local chamber of commerce, and just about everybody, small business, because it works. It makes our economy more efficient. It gets people around more safely. It provides better public services. And that's the mistake that Clinton made. That's the mistake that Obama is making. And you got to do it big time, and it leaves something behind. It's not just stuff that shoves out taxpayer dollars and doesn't leave footprints in the sand. So that's one. That builds real wealth.
Right.
Public works are the most important sort of facilitator of private wealth in our country. Just try to get goods and services around without public services and public communications. So that's one. The second is we have to recognize that the super rich and the corporations have gotten away with trillions of dollars. It's not just that they're subsidized. I mean, every modern industry you wouldn't recognize today if it wasn't for taxpayer-funded research and development from the Department of Defense, NASA, and the National Institutes of Public Health. Whether it's the pharmaceutical industry, the aerospace industry, the biotech industry, the containerization industry, the semiconductor, internet, computer industry. I mean, it's traceable right back. The aerospace industry would be nothing without the military R&D that was transferred to them. So apart from that, they're getting away with $80 billion in tax havens in the Bahamas and elsewhere a year. These are official estimates. And they're getting away with damage that they're doing to innocent people, which is costing our country enormous amount, like medical malpractice, which the Harvard School of Public Health physicians estimate cost, and this was 20 years ago, cost $60 billion and over 100,000 lives lost. So if the government invested modest amounts in occupational health and safety prevention, air pollution prevention, medical malpractice prevention, we would save hundreds of billions of dollars downstream, because all this damage, human casualties, increases the amount that has to be spent on hospital care and doctor care and drug care and rehabilitation care and so on. So these are just some examples. But you see, if you come to this from a prejudgment of a corporatist mindset, when you come to this from monetized minds, they immediately start with the premise, how do we get it out of the hides of regular people? Because regular people are powerless. They're not organized. But we don't want to take on the super rich, and we don't want to take on the big corporations, because they not only are organized, they fund Washington. They control Washington. It's corporate-occupied territory.
Join us here, 410-319-8888. We're talking with Ralph Nader. Of course, when he wrote that book in 1965, Unsafe at Any Speed, he changed the nature of the auto industry, changed the nature of our safety industry, became one of the greatest muckrakers of all time in our society. He joins us here this evening in his last four books. He has been on the show talking about which have just been really the good fight. Only the rich can. What is that? Only the rich.
Only the super rich can save it.
That's it. That's it. Right. Right. I love that one.
That's a work of fiction.
That's a work of fiction.
But it's a way to turn the country around by a tiny number of elderly, super rich who have enlightened backgrounds.
The 17 Traditions, Civic Arousal, many, many more books. You can join us here now, 410-319-8888, here on the Mark Steiner Show, WEAA 88.9 FM at Morgan State University in Baltimore, Maryland, broadcasting around the country on Free Speech TV and at steinershow.org, where we're live streaming, and of course, with my partner here on Mondays, every Monday, co-hosting with Anthony McCarthy, 410-319-8888. Toll-free if you have a cell phone, and soon we'll have the 800 number installed, so everybody can make a toll-free call. Anthony, have a question?
Mr. Nader, I want to ask you, as we listen to you talk about the common sense measures that could be taken, and the things, if we were thinking about the commissions, the two chairmen, the information that they are giving us on what is possible. But if we look at what the American people did in the most recent general election, and this new class of elected leaders who are coming to Washington, matter of fact, they're in Washington this week for their orientation, what do you think the American people were trying to say by electing Rand Paul from Kentucky? The list could just go on and on.
Right.
What were the American people trying to tell us?
Well, we're talking about 7% of the voters who switched sides, therefore a 14% gap. The rest of the voters who went to the polls on November 2 voted the same way they voted in prior elections. So we shouldn't exaggerate the American people.
Mm-hmm.
7% of the voters who voted amounts to 3% of the eligible voters, which include voters who didn't vote. So that's what a winner-take-all political system does. It exaggerates shifts because the winner takes all. You get 49%, you lose. You get nothing. We're in a proportional representation. You get a piece of that, like in Western Europe. The Green Party gets 5% or more of the German vote. In Germany, they get 5% or more of the parliament. So, number one. Number two, that there are enough people who basically say that the Democrats didn't move fast enough, and they didn't do enough. And then some other people say the Democrats did too much, like right-wing conservative corporatist types or whatever. And but the verdict is the same. Throw the rascals out, no matter what angle the voter was coming at. But it is amazing how fact-deprived a lot of these voters are, and it's their own fault because they can get all the information right off from the internet or all kinds of newspapers and magazines if they did their homework. But, for example, to blame Washington for the bailout when it's Washington is controlled, is the puppet of Wall Street. Wall Street that came to Washington and said, you got to bail us out because we can take this economy off the cliff. Got trillions of dollars here looted and drained and so forth. That's the big problem. The big problem is it's what I call more than one-step thinking. That is, you don't just knee-jerk what some propagandist like Dick Armey of his group so-called Freedom Works feeds you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just say, I'm angry, therefore I'm going to throw the rascals out. It's okay to throw the rascals out, but don't throw them out for the wrong reasons.
We're here with Ralph Nader, 410-319-8888. And Mac in Edgewood, you're on the air.
Yeah, Ralph.
On the air, Mac. Welcome.
Yes.
Look, I voted for you when you ran against Clinton, and I think you're probably the best American there is. I agree with everything you've said, and I mean, I just couldn't agree more. The Democrats and the Republicans are taking all of us for granted. And the first thing that they do is they go to places like Medicare and Social Security when we're wasting money on wars.
That's right. Trillions of dollars on blowing apart Afghanistan and Iraq and creating more enemies and bringing all kinds of sick and injured, deceased soldiers back here with broken families and lost jobs. And a million people in Iraq who've died already as a result of our invasion and the consequences. And meanwhile, while we blow up their infrastructure, we don't repair our public works back home. The other thing is, look at all the hundreds of billions of dollars that goes for corporate welfare. They don't call it welfare, do they? They call it incentives.
Right.
It's only poor people who get entitlements, right?
Right.
They get entitlements. First of all, Social Security is solid 100% checks until 2041, according to the Social Security.
We always forget that, don't we? That's never talked about.
No one talks
about
it.
Number two, you can solve the problem by just raising the level of income of the super rich that's subjected to Social Security taxes. Right now, it's about $106,000, the first $106,000.
Right.
Number three, you can deal with the Medicare issue by replacing this corrupt, wasteful, denying, cruel health insurance system with these corporations with full Medicare. So you have government insurance and private delivery. You still have private hospitals and doctors, free hospitals, and it's much more efficient. First of all, get rid of $400 billion of administrative costs like Aetna involves itself in, because they spend a lot of time denying claims. They spend a lot of time paying vertical bureaucracies up to multi-million dollar executives. That figure comes from the two Harvard Medical School researchers, Himmelstein and Wolander, that $400 billion of administrative costs. Another huge saving is that 45,000 people won't die every year in this country because they can't afford health insurance to get diagnosed or treated. Where does that figure come from? A peer review Harvard Medical School researcher article in the Journal of Public Health, December 2009, right there. Now just think, how much does that cost? And then listen to this. This is completely, Mark, ignored. This is documented very rigorously. $250 billion in computerized billing fraud and abuse in the healthcare industry.
$250 million?
Billion.
Billion dollars?
$250. That comes from an early General Accounting Office study in the early 90s, and it's worse now. And from the expert on it at Harvard, Professor Malcolm Sparrow, who's an applied mathematician. And he says that's the minimal figure. $250 billion out of a $2.4 trillion healthcare industry. You see what I mean? The whole taboo. They never want to talk about the real stuff. They want to stick it to people who sweat it out every day, who can hardly make ends meet, who got to have two jobs and $500 a month daycare. I mean, when are people going to get immersed? It's all available so they can have the right objectives, the right agenda, and the right civic metabolism.
But wait a minute, but Rob, it's a very quick question before we run out of time, and I'm trying to get another caller here because people are now calling in at the end. But you said people can get the facts, but the reality is, as you just said, people work two jobs. They're barely making it, trying to figure out how to keep their families afloat. And we live in a soundbite world where people who have huge amounts of money can manipulate the media with their quick ads, their quick thoughts, because it's all people have time for. I mean, so it's not just about people researching their own work, because people don't have the time for that in this world.
They don't have to research. It's all done for them. There are very valid websites like singlepayeraction.org. We'll give you all that information that I mentioned on the health care. Singlepayeraction.org. Run very, very honest person, Russell Mokyper, who's probably been on your show, who puts out the corporate crime reporter. Okay,
right.
You don't even have to read through thousands of pages. There are very distilled websites that you get to know, and the best way is say anything you see on TV, the advertiser, don't even look at it, because the probability that it's full of lies is too high for you to waste your time.
We have a few minutes left. Let's get a quick call in here. John in Iowa, you're on the air.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm well. Welcome, John.
I just turned on this show, you know, and I'm very interested in these things. But what I got a question, like, if everybody knows that soon our dollar is about to be, like, erased from the face of this earth and they're going to a gold standard, as they say, and a silver standard, What is really going to make a difference if we do put, you know, if we cut off these different programs so we can save more money, so we can give more money to the poor, when they already are planning any way it goes that the dollar is going to disappear? What is your comment about that?
Or let me just jump in because we have 2 minutes left, Ralph. If you could just
very quick, that's an important point because Wall Street can do it again and again. They can threaten extinction of our economy or going off the cliff because of their own boondoggles and self-enrichment and corruption, and wreck the dollar, and then say we got to cut all these programs for the poor, all these programs for people who need public services. This is a kind of institutionalized extortion, and the way to turn it around is turn around Congress. Every congressional district's got to organize a couple thousand people to Congress watchdog groups. Focus on your representative senator. Only 535 of them put their shoes on every day like you and I do. And turn them around or replace them. Once you control the Congress, you control the government, and the government can stand up to Wall Street and represent we the people. That's the Khyber Pass, the Congress.
And Ralph Nader will be here, if you're listening to us, in Baltimore, Maryland, and our environs of Maryland. He will be here this Wednesday at 11:15 a.m., the Q Building Theater at CCBC in Catonsville, 800 South Rolling Road. You can call 443-840-4322 for tickets, 443-840-2787 as well. All those numbers will be on our website. Ralph Nader, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks very much, Mark and Anthony.
Take care.
Thanks for keep fighting. And I'm Mark Steiner here on The Mark Steiner Show on 88.9 FM here in Baltimore, Maryland, and Free Speech TV with my co-host and dear friend and partner, Anthony McCarthy.
That went fast.
That went fast, didn't it?
Mark, I want to encourage people to go to a wonderful website, www.cfuf.org. It's the Center for Urban Families. They have an incredible conference this Wednesday, November 17th, the Black Family Today. Workshops on parenting, maintaining healthy relationships, and marriages, foster parenting, mentor, community. It's an incredible, incredible conference this Wednesday in Baltimore at the Center for Urban Families. Go to their website, cfuf.org. You need to be there on Wednesday.
And we'll put that up on our website as well. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by what? Where's my page? Here it is. By Urbanite Magazine's new e-zines. It's a simple way to stay connected to the topics and events you care about the most. Daily content on arts, culture, food design, style, green living, and much more can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at urbaniteBaltimore.com. And I want to encourage you to let you know the support of WEA is provided by Chef Max Louisiana Cuisine, available for catering for all holiday parties and occasions. Monday through Thursday, it's open 12 to 8. Fridays and Saturdays, 12 to 9, located at 4311 Hartford Road. For more information, 410-319-6227. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Christina Harrison and Justin Levy. We're engineered by Brian Boone. Our interns tonight are Shari Burns and Ashley Buddy. Our theme music is by Will Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear new additional interviews, find out information about our guests, go to our website, steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And for Free Speech TV, the only place you get news you won't get anywhere else. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by MECU, Baltimore's credit union, and the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development.